Hebrews in chapter 7 and verse 25. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. That is page 1211. 1211. Hebrews 7 verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And the subject laid on my heart to bring before you this evening is divine ability. Divine ability. The divine ability of God. And the words that I wish to focus upon this evening are quite simply three words in verse 25, he is able. He is able. You perhaps remember, some of you, how on Good Friday we considered the words in verse 24, the previous verse, but this man. And this week when praying about this evening, he is able, really rested upon my mind for consideration. And it's incredible when we consider scripture, the amount of times the divine ability of God is brought to our attention. God-given faith finds its strength and assurance in the divine ability of God. He is able. He is able. Now, in the Old Testament, we read of King Jehoshaphat praying to God when a great army, a multitude, was coming against them, and they were surrounded. And we read that now all Judah, with their little ones and their wives and their children, they stood before the Lord. And Jehoshaphat the king led them in worship and prayer, and he encouraged them in the divine ability of the Lord. What to do? An impossible situation, surrounded by this incredible army. What to do? How to encourage the people? And we read Jehoshaphat saying, O Lord God of the fathers, of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen, and in thine hand is there not power and might, and none is able. None is able to withstand thee. He is able, and none is able to withstand the divine ability of God. An impossible situation was delivered by faith in prayer unto the Almighty God, that none is able to withstand. Oh, that situation seemed absolutely impossible, and yet the Lord appeared. And in this prayer, notice how, despite the size of the army, encouragement is taken in what man is not able to do. Not only in what God is able to do, but what man is not able to do. And that's a very helpful exercise for us in meditation. Remember what God is able to do and what man is not able to do. This was the experience of the men of Beth Shemesh when the Lord judged them for their irreverent use of the ark. They came to the conclusion, the men of Beth Shemesh, and they said, who is able to withstand this mighty God? Who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? Oh, they were filled with awe. They were filled with terror. They were filled with reverence. Who is able? Who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? None is able to withstand, to stand before the holy God in their own strength, in their own wisdom, in their own power, in their own righteousness. The only possible way that we can stand humbly before the Lord God Almighty is in the precious righteousness of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then we are told we can come boldly to the throne of grace when we are in Christ Jesus, trusting in him. Divine ability then, he is able. Man's inability He is unable then to withstand God. Earlier in the book of Jeremiah, he writes that the nations shall not be able to abide even his indignation. But the divine ability of God, he is able, was a key element of the faith of Abraham when he was called to offer his son Isaac. And this is an account that often troubles people, and I can understand why. Oh, God, the Almighty, the pure and holy God, is telling his servant Abraham to offer up his only beloved son, Isaac. And it seems such an incredible command to give to Abraham. But when we read in the letter to the Hebrews that actually Abraham, when he went up Mount Moriah and he laid his son upon the altar, he believed by faith that God would be able to raise him up even from the dead. And he received him in a figure. He looked beyond him to Christ. Oh, Abraham, on that solemn time at Mount Moriah, encouraged himself in the divine ability of God. So let us ourselves this evening encourage ourselves in the divine ability of God. He is able. He is able to deliver. He is able to deliver. In the book of Daniel, we read on specific occasions of the divine ability of God. The testimony of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is so revealing to us as an example of real, true, and living faith in the divine ability of God. It was a faith that believed in the divine ability of God to deliver them. Nevertheless, it was a faith that submitted to the permissive will of God, if it was his permissive will to allow them to die in the furnace and be taken straight to heaven. They simply trusted in God, and they said to Nebuchadnezzar the king, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able." He is able. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Or he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king, whether it be through a physical deliverance in the furnace, or whether the Lord allows us to be burnt and we go straight to glory, we'll still be delivered, and Nebuchadnezzar, out of thine hand. And be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship thy golden image, which thou hast set up. Believing in the divine ability of God and the permissive will of God. But later in the book of Daniel, on this subject of the divine ability of God, he is able. You remember how Daniel was thrown into the den of lions because he continued to pray to the one and only true God. And King Darius, we read, was so upset. He thought a lot of Daniel, and he realized he'd been tricked into throwing Daniel into the den of lions. And Darius, as an unbeliever, but nevertheless very sad about the plight of Daniel, the first thing in the morning we read, he hurries off to the den of lions, and he has a question. He has a question to Daniel. He said with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions?" And that may be a question in your minds. Is God able to deliver you? Is God able to save you? Well, our text we read this evening right at the beginning said he is able to save unto the uttermost. Oh, that's the ability of God. Well, we know in the story of Daniel that Daniel said, "Oh, God has sent his angel and he shut the lion's mouth. He's dealt with this situation. He shut the lion's mouth. It's all of God. It's all of his power. It's all of his might. He's intervened. He's preserved my life. He is able to deliver. And so we're called, dear friends, to take encouragement from the word of God, from the character of God. He is able. He is able to deliver. But then there's another aspect to the ability of God, and this is something which is very solemn, and that we need to mention this. He is able to destroy. He is able to destroy. Now, man is able to destroy the body, but only God has the divine ability to destroy the soul eternally in hell in his judgment. The Lord Jesus said, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, in judgment." God has the final say in our eternal destiny, and we are called to fear him and to follow him and to bow before him and to come in repentance and trust only in his wonderful provision for us in the very person of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his only beloved Son. But out of Christ, almighty power can do nothing but devour. There is one lawgiver, God, who is able to save and to destroy, and we are to respect and reverence him. But I want us to notice that text I've quoted to you, if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 10, because the Lord Jesus Christ, directly after he says those solemn words, which are so solemn, immediately he encourages people to faith. He follows this statement with words of divine encouragement to those who trust in God. Oh, to those that trust in God, they have their heavenly Father. Oh, he says, are not, in verse 29 of Matthew 10, straight away after the call to fear God, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of many more value than of many sparrows. And here we have it, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, trusting in Jesus Christ, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. He will be a father to you. But, verse 33, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. The God who is able to deliver, the God who is able to destroy, but then the God who is able to save. He is able. Here we have it in our verse before us this evening. We focus now on that precious verse, Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now in this verse, we will notice how there is a route to God. There is a way to God. There's only one way to God, and that is by the very person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come unto God, this holy God, by him. And as we come unto God by him, he is able to save unto the uttermost that come unto God by him. Here then is the great promise of encouragement this evening, to come to God through Jesus Christ just as you are. Just as you are. Your confidence must be in Christ. No one, absolutely no one, is turned away that come to God by Jesus Christ. No one is turned away that come to God by Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And as we speak this evening, Jesus, the mighty Savior, is in heaven, ever living to make intercession as the great high priest to all those that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. for them. Isn't that wonderful? Make an intercession. Speaking on our behalf before God the Father. Oh, the word uttermost then. He is able to also to save them to the uttermost. What an amazing, comforting word that is to us this evening. Unto the uttermost. And that means here in this word that there is no sin or sinner which is too difficult for God to forgive through his Son, Jesus Christ. He can save unto the uttermost. And also, unto the uttermost means there is no possibility of a sin being not pardoned in your life as you come to Jesus Christ, because God's salvation is total. Those open sins, those secret sins, can all forgiven be in Jesus Christ the Lord. And thirdly, unto the uttermost means God's salvation in Christ will take us ultimately to the new heavens and the new earth. The new heavens and the new earth. At the end of time, after the great day of judgment, we read in Scripture that there will be a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And that's the final eternal destiny of all God's people. Jesus Christ will be the light and the glory there with the Father and the Spirit. Unto the uttermost, the very pinnacle of salvation, the very purpose of salvation, forever with the Lord. Oh, he, no one else, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is able to save unto the uttermost. And you take that to God in prayer. Oh, you may feel to be the uttermost sinner. There may be something in your life which grieves you deeply, and you wonder, can God deal with this in my life? Unto the uttermost. That is God's promise, and God does not lie. He is able to save then in Christ Jesus because of what the Lord Jesus has done for us on our behalf, living a perfect life, suffering the eternal punishment on behalf of sinners, dying on their behalf, in their place and in their stead, and rising victorious over sin and death and hell. He is able. The last hymn we're hoping to sing this evening says, come you sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love and power. He is able. He is willing. Doubt no more. And then he is not only able to save, he is able to perform. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, said he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. He was able also to perform. Now, in life, there are times when we make a well-meaning promise that we find unable to perform. Circumstances so transpire in our life to make the promise we made unattainable. The intended recipient is disappointed. Maybe they're disappointed in us. We've not been able to fulfill the promise. But there is one who can. God is able to perform. God keeps all his promises to his people. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, said, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded in my mind by faith that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He's able to keep. He's able to deliver. He is able to save. He is able to present me perfect before God the Father And the Apostle Paul lived and died on He is Able. He rested on that wonderful foundation truth, the great rock of truth. He is able. He is able. He is able, though, not only to keep that which we have committed unto Him against that day, that we will stand in His grace on that great day of judgment, but He's also able to keep you from falling. That is, to finally present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to present you perfect in Christ Jesus, in His righteousness. He is able to keep you from falling. Oh, in and of ourselves, as we walk the way, we fall often. We sin, we stumble. If we are following the Lord, sadly, we do. But as we trust in Him, now unto Him that is able. He is the one that is able to keep you from falling. Trusting in Him. But then He is also able to transform. We've spoken times about how God is able to transform situations. But there's a wonderful transformation to think about, and that is the great transformation at the end of time in the great day of resurrection, when the Apostle Paul says he shall change a lowly body, that it might be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself, that at the end of time every knee shall bow before Him and say, Jesus is Lord. Believers will say it with joy in their hearts. Jesus is Lord. Unbelievers will say it with fear in their hearts. Jesus is Lord after all. He is able to perform what He has promised. He is able to transform. But then He is able to provide. He is able to provide all sufficient grace to enable you to follow in His pathway to heaven. Now, it is God's wisdom that we serve Him by grace. Salvation is by grace, and we serve Him by grace, and we obey Him by grace. The grace, we say, of faith and obedience. Our obedience to serve the Lord is all of God's grace. And we read in Scripture, the Apostle Paul tells us in the second letter to the church at Corinth, that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have an all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Oh, there's so much to do for the Lord. There's so many opportunities. If you come and you follow the Lord, and those of us who are already following the Lord, we find actually there are so many opportunities really to serve the Lord. We fail often. We do not serve Him as we should. But I want us to notice here, dear friends, how the starting point is grace. The starting point is grace. We don't start with the work, we start with grace. It says God is able to make all grace abound toward you, so you stand in His grace, you are strengthened by His grace, you serve by His grace, that by His grace, always have an all sufficiency in all things, you may abound to every good work. So we have to remember, it's all of God's grace. And if we start at the point of grace, and we depend on God's grace, and we serve in His grace, God will be our all sufficient Lord, and He will enable us to abound to every good work. And in this grace, God is able to do in us and through us above our highest expectations. We read Paul saying to the church at Ephesus, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Oh, he is able. He is able. He is able to fulfill all his will, even when the situation seems impossible. We read, did we not, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32. And God had told Jeremiah to do something which appeared to be very foolish, to go and buy a plot of land. And Jeremiah knew that the land was just going to be taken captive by the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. What is the point of buying a plot of land that's just going to be taken over? I might never see the land again. And what was the hope? What was the comfort? What was the assurance in this impossible situation? There is nothing too hard for the Lord. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. And so it was that God, yes, he did judge them for their terrible idolatry, but he delivered them again, and he brought them back again to Jerusalem, a remnant of people. And all that prophecy was fulfilled, because there is nothing too hard for the Lord. Well, finally, this evening, those references that we have considered, referring to the divine ability of God, they are meant to encourage faith. Here also is an encouragement to seekers to come into the haven of the divine ability of God, to rest in the divine ability of God, the God that keeps his promises, the God of love, who has sent his Saviour to this world that we through him might be forgiven. What ability is that? To send his only beloved Son from heaven to this earth, and to take upon himself a body, to live a perfect life. What an ability is that? And then to die upon the cross on behalf of millions of sinners, that they through him might be forgiven. What ability is that? He is able. Oh, come and rest in the haven of the ability of God, the divine ability of God. He is able. And this instruction this evening reminds us of the inability of man and the divine ability of God. We are not able, but he is able. And this is where we rest. God can change hearts. God can change lives. God can deliver, God can save, God can heal, God can uphold, God can transform, God can provide, God can protect, God can equip, God can enable, God can do all things. With God, nothing is impossible. Trust in him at all times, you people. Lean not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. He is able. He is able even to save unto the uttermost all those that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them.